Like I said, it's good to be back with you, to be able to share God's word with you. It's always a privilege to share wherever we're at the living word. I call it the living word because we have a living Christ, don't we? He's alive. He's not in that tomb yet, that he's alive and with us in spirit today. I think sometimes, we get so much of the cross during Easter that we kind of maybe let it go through the year. But the song says that Gold City a quartet sing, it's all about the cross. And that's why we're here. It is all about the cross because that's where our Savior died for us. That he shed his blood for us. So as we're kind of reminded about the picture, as we look from Jerusalem and look upon that hill, Golgotha, and see those three crosses, I've kind of entitled this message, Three Crosses and Three Responses, from the man and Jesus on that cross. God's Son, who redeemed this world, who was the sacrificial lamb. It was only that lamb that could save us. And many more names for Jesus. Thank God for his response from the middle of that cross. We're going to look at the responses from the two others on each side of him today too. These wooden crosses with three men placed upon them that day, but there were different responses from each one. I believe the Jewish leaders had Jesus crucified in the middle just to show the crowd that he was no different than any of the others. He had committed crimes. He was a sinner of all. He poured out his life unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many, as it says in the prophecy. If we look at prophecy, it even tells about that day. He was numbered with the transgressors. That was the thief on the right and the thief on the left. In Isaiah 53:12, there the prophecy is. God wanted to show the people there that attended that crucifixion their choice. That they believe in Christ or they could reject him. And it's the same with us today. Either you can accept Christ for who he is. We talked in Sunday school about eternal life, that he has eternal life for us in heaven, but there also is that other choice of rejecting and not accepting. The criminal on Jesus' left, in total rebellion, in total rejection, bitterness, and anger. The other criminal on the right of Jesus, who sought his forgiveness. Jesus in the center, the Savior of the world. The Savior of those who call upon him. In today's text, we'll look at Luke 23, 32 through 43. So will you stand in reverence to God's word? Luke 23, 32 for 43, and I'll be keying in on verses 39 through 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. Maybe they're convicting words. Maybe they're words that bring peace to us. But Lord, sometimes I believe our lives need to get an adjustment in them. Sometimes we take for granted Easter. Take for granted the cross. Take for granted your beatings and floggings and those thorns placed upon your head. That it should have been us who went through that. God, how your son Jesus obeyed you, that he committed his life to you. Lord, that he bore the sins of many. So we thank you, Lord, for your precious words today. We pray that they would go forth in victory, that they would go forth revealing your love for each one of us all. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 39, one of the criminals who hung hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." I believe that was a cross of rejection. So why do you suppose this man was hurling insults at Jesus? Why was he so angry? Well, we don't know much about this man, except that he was a criminal. It says in Matthew 27:38, two robbers were executed with Christ. Seems like quite a sentence for just a robbery, doesn't it? To us, you know, that's capital punishment for just a robbery. But we don't know all the details with that. Maybe there was a life taken during that time too. But it seems like quite a bit of a sentence for just a robbery. We can only speculate. Maybe this man grew up in the streets of Jerusalem and was maybe without a father and a mother, maybe just fending for himself, learning to steal or fight at an early age, fighting for food or clothing. And maybe he got caught up in the wrong crowd and wrong gang at that time. This criminal... Started a criminal record in his life. On that day, his sins, I believe, made him angry. I just felt that the Spirit was working some way, and he was being convicted not only of his sin, but he was going to lash out at whoever was close to him. I believe he was mad because he's the one who got caught, probably did some idiot thing and just said, "Man, I should have thought a little different about that." This robber had to look upon Christ that day and see the hash marks and the blood and the crown of thorns coming upon his head. Just doesn't seem like this criminal had any heart or sensitivity on Christ who was next to him. And how could, you know, you almost say, how could you not notice what this man went through compared to what you did? This criminal said, aren't you the Christ? Kind of reminds me of Satan's word back in God's and Jesus' temptations, wasn't it? When Satan said to Jesus in Luke 4:3, if you are the Son of God, tell that stone to turn into bread. In Luke 4:9, Satan said again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here. Kind of relates a little bit, don't it? Well, if you are, why don't you do? That day at Calvary, the only reason this criminal, I believe, wanted Jesus to come down on that cross because it meant freedom for him too. If this Christ could save his own life, this criminal wanted to be included in it so he could go on probably and lead a rebellious life of robbery again. Maybe too, as we as Christians allow anger and rebellion and even rejection come into our lives, we can become that criminal who looks at Jesus and said, why don't you do something about this situation? Why are you allowing these bad things to happen to me? It's your fault. It's all your fault, God. Have you heard that before? Yeah, it's all God's fault. Aren't you God the Savior? Aren't you the great physician? Why do I have this cancer? Why do I have this broken leg? Why do I have to go get this test for see what's wrong with me? Heal me. Heal me then. Ephesians 4:31 says, Scripture says, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, and evil speaking be put away from you. Romans 8:28, and we all know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God works through every one of those situations, whether it's a death, whether going through a trial of a physical trial, maybe a financial trial, maybe it's a marriage trial we're going through, you need to get in order. It's not how long you've been a Christian or how much faith you have, how much you put in the offering plate. There will be crosses to bear in our lives. We will have to, as individuals, choose how we will allow them to affect our Christian walk. But I know that in Luke 9:23, Jesus says, take up your cross, his cross daily, and follow him. Daily. Sometimes that gets to be a lot of carrying that cross, doesn't it? But sometimes it becomes light. But we have to remember that God is also with us in carrying that cross. The cross of rejection. Secondly, the cross of repentance in 40 through 41. But the other criminal rebuked the other one. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. This criminal was as guilty as the one on the other side, going through the same punishment. This man has a change of heart. He rebukes the other criminal, and he defends Christ. He speaks out for Christ. So as Christians, and I'm in that boat, I know there's sometimes that I've failed, probably to speak out in defending my Christ, your Christ. And think of many excuses of why not, it's just not, probably not the right time. But how many of us have, an hour later, maybe it hasn't even been that long, or the next day, are convicted, are ashamed for not sharing the gospel? Or maybe it seems to us that telling others about Christ doesn't do anything. It just, maybe it's a waste of time. A woman came to know Christ as her Savior, returned home full of joy. After a few weeks, she expressed a desire to leave the community in which she lived because it was so sinful. When her pastor heard this, he said, "How would you like it if the city removed all the lights from the dirty, dangerous streets and left lights only in the good neighborhoods where no crimes are committed? Didn't Christ say, 'You are the light of the world?'" The woman accepted what the pastor said. And sometime later, she came to her pastor and said, "Now there are two lights that shine in our street." She had led a soul to Christ. How do we know? You want to take a chance at it? I think we're being led to do that as Christians. It says, "Go ye therefore into all the world." Doesn't it? Doesn't say just part of it. All of it. It says also he calls us because the harvest is ready and the workers are few. I hope none of us are included in that few. We're ready for the harvest. We're ready to talk to someone about Jesus Christ. That we're prepared today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Criminal said in verse 41, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." We deserve the punishment for our sin. We are getting, by God's grace, forgiveness. This criminal was prompted to confess his sin. Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus Lord, we will be saved. The criminal knew that Christ had done nothing wrong. This criminal on the cross seeked God's repentance. Verse 42, "And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Though Christ himself, I believe, was in the greatest pain, the greatest struggle, he took on the sins of the world too, besides his beatings. And yet Jesus, who bore our sins, nailed to the cross, had words of comfort for this forgiven criminal. To be remembered by Christ is what we should all earnestly be praying for. This day, not tomorrow, you will be with me in paradise. Wouldn't those be precious words to each one? If Christ were to say to you, "This day you will be with me in paradise if you pass away." That's pretty good words to me. That's quite a promise to all who believe in him. And so as the same, we as sinners, we need to examine our lives. We're going to be coming to communion examine our lives. Where are we at in our spiritual walk? Are we living in unconfessed sin? Are we living in sin? God gives us time, and we'll reflect upon that. I pray that God is already working in your life. If you haven't asked him into it, that you would allow him. Seek his will for your life. The cross of repentance. The cross of sacrifice and redemption is the third one. The cross of sacrifice and redemption, verse 43. Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice. Jesus' blood still flows from Calvary. It's not clotted, it's not dried up. His blood is still there for us. One of the commentaries said, it is a mistake to call just our life of suffering a cross. Yes, we'll have times of downfalls in our lives, physical problems, maybe financial problems, being rejected by others for our faith in Christ. No matter how heavy our cross may be that day, Jesus helps us carry it. But I believe there's also this cross that we bear can represent Christ in our lives. The cross of learning, the cross of telling others about Christ, the cross of leadership in our church, the cross of being a Sunday school teacher. I just see so many gifts that we have here that stepped out and carried that cross. And I think of the youth, the cross of standing up for Jesus in school. Boy, it has to be a battle, it seems like, in the younger generation of taking that stand for Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for our youth, those who are, whether in college or whether they're in high school or grade school, just encourage them, and parents and grandparents, be there for them. Because they really get bombarded, not only with some of the teaching within the school, but also maybe by students. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Isn't that good? Once you've accepted Christ, that old life, the old memories gone, the old sin, as far as God promises that. He says, as far as the east is from the west, your sins shall be forgiven. Another great promise from God. In closing, we were having devotions with our grandchildren the other day. And I thought it was a good devotional maybe to end my message with. It's titled, Why Did Jesus Die? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, the people made fun of him and dared him to come down from the cross. But one thing they did say that was true, even though they were laughing at Jesus when they said it, he saved others, they said. Himself he cannot save. And he didn't save himself, did he? That's exactly why Jesus stayed on the cross instead of coming down. He could have saved himself, but if he had saved himself, then he would not have saved us. No Easter, no salvation, no stone rolled away to save you and me from God's punishment of sin. He had to stay on the cross and be punished for us. It's a little like this. Once there was a great flood and a family was sitting on the roof of a house waiting to be rescued. A man came by with a little boat. there was room in the boat for all but one. If everyone tried to get in, the boat would go down. Save my family and leave me here, the father said. To save the others, he couldn't save himself. Kind of a good ending for us today, isn't it? God gave his life so that we might be saved. That's why God gives us a choice. Two crosses, two criminals, with each making a choice that day. Whom will they serve? The saying goes, it doesn't require a decision to go to hell, but it does require you to make a decision to go to heaven. What's your decision today? Rejection or accepting? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now may be this your day. May this be your time. As you come to the Lord's Supper, you've confessed your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words today. They're so precious to us that they are without error, that they are truth, that they are foundation of our lives, that they are the foundation of what this church was built on, the foundation that never grows old, the foundation that says in Malachi where God's word never changes. And yet, Lord, how we see within the world today how your word is being changed. It's sad to look upon that. People want to justify their sins by taking words out of context from your word to justify their sins. Lord, thank you again for this time. Again, Lord, that we might see the sinfulness in our lives and come to the cross this morning, asking for your forgiveness, asking for deliverance from that sin, that we might be that new creation that is in your word. In thy name we pray.